Hello and welcome to Brussels Unplugged. It's a rainy Monday. It's definitely not blue, although our guest today, Bruno, is dressed fully in his characteristic navy blue. And we have a very special guest. I already gave his name away. It's Bruno Pani, the founder of the Merode. But Bruno, you live many, many interesting lives. I want to hear a bit about you. Your name is Italian, but you're Belgian. What's your story? Why did you decide to start this fantastic club? Disclaimer to our listeners, I am a member since March and a very happy one at that. So Bruno, floor is yours. Give us a bit of a, what's your story? What brought you?
Strange story. I mean, there is a lot of Belgium guy in Belgium. My grandfather arriving in Belgium in 1929.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
He was teacher in Roma. Okay. He was studying educating young Italian people in Roma in mine engineer.
Okay.
And then he come in Belgium because Liège is a city where there was a lot of mine.
Absolutely.
And it was an exchange between Rome and Liège. He stay in Belgium.
Okay.
Get married there. My father just born in Belgium. And my father also was studying in Liège.
Okay.
But when they closed the mine, I mean, he moved from Liège to Brussels. Just arrived in Brussels, I was 8, 10, something like that.
Okay.
I was a very, very poor student, you know. I was changing school every year or every 2 years. Then I start to be a sound engineer. That's bring me a little bit on, the tour concerts, mainly in United States and London.
Fantastic. We're in the US.
And but that touring is already living in the event world, which become later my main passion and my main job. When you just follow concerts, you live in a bus. I mean, you arrive in a venue, you just make sound check, then the concert, then you go in another bus, and after a certain time, it's become very very boring. That bring me back to Brussels, where I start working for a company that was organizing the European Championship Tennis Tournament in Antwerp.
Okay.
Become a partner of this project for 4 years. And after a few years, I just realized that, create my own company, which is Pro First.
Mm-hmm.
We started in Belgium, mainly in sports. Golf was nowhere, so I decided just to go in golf and find a deal with the Belgium Golf Federation. I become the sport marketing agency for them. And then we have developed different things in sport. And in 1996, I pitched for organizing the opening of Emporio Armani store on the Piazza des Sablons in Brussels. Yeah. Get they give me the project, and you know what, when you have a name like Bruno Pani at this time in Belgium, could be difficult, you know. There was a lot of Italian immigrants in Liège, Charleroi, Louvière. So the image was not very good. I was not very proud of being Italian, and due to this opportunity to go in Milano to present my solution for the opening of the store, I was invited to go to meet Mr. Armani via Borgonovo Ondici in Milano.
Fantastic.
And that have changed my life, because, you know, I realized how Italy is great, how the city is great, the elegance. I mean, discovering Milano was unique for me.
Beautiful city.
And we have started working for Armani just after the event, and we're still working for him now. But that have just changed my life, because I realized what was fashion and what was, luxury and fashion in luxury. That have changed my life. And he decided to give us the opportunity to become the agency of Giorgio Armani, not in Italy, but in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And after 6 months, it doesn't give any results. So I tell him, you know, thank you for giving the opportunity of doing that. But I mean, nobody's calling us. I mean, it's because you don't have an office in Paris. And you know what? We have an office in our office, Place Vendôme in Paris.
Okay.
So you can have the office, and then we start to have our first non-Brussels office in Paris, in the office of Giorgio Armani. Okay. And that was the beginning of the...
A game changer.
Exactly, we discovered what was the luxe industry and the luxury industry. Mm. So we opened an office in London, and then we opened two offices in China now. Mm-hmm. We're still in luxury market, working for LVMH, Kering, and Richemont, and L'Oréal.
Is there somebody that you don't cater to? Bruno, wow.
And then, meeting fantastic person could change your life.
Absolutely.
And in 2011, Axel Vervoort, which is an interior designer, interior designer in Belgium, asked me, I have a client that wants to organize a wedding in Spain. Are you ready to do that? I say, yes. Where do we go? I don't know. What's the name of the client? I could not give you the name. And it was the wedding of Marta Ortega. Marta is now the president of Inditex and Zara. That has changed our life also, because we discover what could be the fast fashion market. And Zara have changed a lot, because now, you know, they're using the fashion luxury code in the fast moving market, and that's also have increased the our job or mission. That's the story of Profers, which is the event agency.
It seems that location is always important, no matter the industry. And it seems to me that you have not quite left the bus life, because you're still between London, Paris, and Brussels. And here in Brussels, you talked a lot about how people can change your life. And let's talk a bit about the Demeraude, because I've been meeting amazing people there.
Brussels is a very special city, you know. Yes. It's more islands. You have uptown and downtown, and then you have, you know, Etterbeek and Saint-Gilles, and then you have Uccle, and then you have... So it's very... And it's different ecosystem.
With their own identities and with communities.
Exactly that. Yeah. So this is very interesting, because, you know, people are just looking to connect and to interconnect. Because in a small city... You could believe that it was easy to meet people, but sometimes it's very complicated. And the idea of the Demeraude was really to come with a next generation club, a private member club.
Okay. What is a next generation members club?
But first of all, it's the opposite of what is a classical, private member club. Yeah. I mean, there is no culture of club in Belgium. Mm-hmm. There is some in Paris or Madrid or London. There is a lot.
Absolutely.
But I was in Brussels. There is one or two. After the COVID, there is some key elements. I realized that there was some key element that have changed in my life. The first thing was, socialization is really something that is key. Learning is very interesting, because during the COVID, I have listened podcasts, read a lot of things, and you know, it's generated for me the passion of continuing to restarting to learn. And there is also, after that, the fact sharing. I mean, you need to talk with people and interact with people.
Absolutely.
About what you have learned and things like that. And my business is to run events. So when the Cercle de Lorraine going bankrupt, the Hotel de Demeraude, which is on probably one of the more beautiful private hotel in
gorgeous in, you building.
Know, it's an exception. You know, 6,000 square meter. It's the first part of this place, of this building, have been developed in the 16th century, mm-hmm. so it's unique.
Yeah.
And the first idea was to use it to make events. And when I've been to, I mean, the lawyers to see if we can take it, they say, no, you need to take the club and the building, not only the building. And they would say, okay, yes, we will see. But when we get the project, yeah. I realized that the club was something that was very interesting to do. Mm-hmm. And the idea of creating a club for the next generation, new generation, and creating this cross-fertilization between generation.
Absolutely.
You know, we are in a moment totally unique. In the past, mm-hmm. Transmission, mentoring was done by older, mm-hmm. more experienced people to
Absolutely.
Young people.
Yeah.
Today is the opposite. Young generation know more about the new generation, the future,
new tech,
than old generation. Yeah. So you have this cross-fertilization between generation. Mm-hmm. I mean, young generation have a lot of things to express and to teach on digital, on the revolution of the AI, which is very complicated for probably older generation. And that was something very interesting in the first element of, mm-hmm. in the concept of the club. I mean,
okay.
a new generation of club could be this connection between different generation. Mm-hmm. And after that, it's how we connect them, how we boost the connection.
Absolutely.
And also, I mean, learning mm-hmm. is for us how we develop conference, talks, mm-hmm. meeting, everything that we can do, party, to find a way to connect people. Mm-hmm. And you boost socialization when they can share. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been there, I learned that, do you know that, you need to come. Mm-hmm. And this is really, I mean, next generation, a new generation of club is a generation, it's a club where all those elements are interacting all together to create something which is totally, totally unique. And again, it's developed as a home far away from home. I mean, it's you always welcome. Mm-hmm. There is two restaurants, there is a bar, there is music, there is, you know, beautiful people, everybody is smiling, I have a fantastic team, you know,
Absolutely,
it's unique.
You do, and a lot of different backgrounds as well, especially what you just mentioned. You know, my background is really much with the whole EU bubble, which I love. I'm a nerd, but it's always interesting to discover something new from somebody that has a passion, from somebody that's organizing the movie festival in Cannes, to a startup and his struggles in breaching a new market. It's very, very, it's very, very stimulating. I go home and I feel that I want to grow more, and that's a great feeling, absolutely. And what's next?
So next is, I mean, we have started this project nearly 3 years now. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first part was really to understand what could be the new models. After that, you need to recruit the right person to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very different department. There is the community management that are in contact with the member, with the program that is just creating all this program for all the conference experience to organize more little format where you can... Mm-hmm. could gather small people, communication, event, and things mm-hmm. like that. So that's the second level. Now, we really need to work on how we can connect people. There is one thing, you know, and mm-hmm. it's good that I'm here, that is unbelievable. I mean, we have probably the more international club and more open club, mm-hmm. and we don't find a way to reach people from European Commission, European Community. This is something that Brussels is suffering. There is amazing people that are working in Brussels. Mm-hmm. I mean, high level, very well indicated from all the country in Europe. And I mean, Brussels people doesn't have the feeling that they know where to meet them. They are not connecting a lot with the city. And we hope that the Mirot will find a way to connect them or to give them the opportunity to be connected to more Belgian people.
Absolutely, but the people in general. I remember when I used to work in a European institution, one of the biggest problems was that people saw the letters, saw the flag, but it was very impersonal. right? We need to put a face on them and create a connection, and create a connection to break down further barriers, and create an opportunity for stories to be told and understanding to be forged, which a lot is lacking, I think, in this era of polarization, in which a lot of people live in echo chambers between social media and what they watch and what they generally just consume, fully bringing down a little bit of a spiral. And tell us a bit about your personal. What do you read? What because you talked about learning, right? What did you in the end of our podcast, we always like to give some unplugged recommendations to our guests.
Yes, I have to say that I read a lot, but yes, mainly magazine. You know, there is World Paper, Monocle, Vogue. Also, Le Point in France, which is very good French magazine. Mm. The Economist is probably one of the
absolutely.
So, and in Belgium, we have L'Echo, which is a financial journal that is like. In terms of book, you know, it's a little bit complicated. I just received a new book today. You know, it's called Surrounded by Idiots.
So I know it. Yes.
You know, I'm going to discover what is this book. But I have to say also that what is the more easy to continue to discover and learn is podcasts. And my main language is French. Mm-hmm. And France Inter is making amazing podcasts. All the Arte is doing
Arte.
That. BBC is making fantastic podcasts. And when I am in a plane or you know, before sleeping, it's so good to just listen to podcasts.
Absolutely. Especially when you're laying there and the body starts falling asleep, but the mind just keeps going. It's still hungry.
Yeah. And the Merod gave me the opportunity to meet a lot of people. I mean, all the speakers. Last year, we have made probably more than 300 conference, which is nearly one per day.
That's impressive.
Most of the time we have a drink before and a drink after, sometimes, you know, a dinner after.
Yeah. I was at the one with Guy Verhofstadt, which was fantastic.
Yes. I mean, he's free. You know, it's a guy that now he can say what you think. You know, he's a politician that have discovered freedom.
That is true. I did find interesting his framework when he talked about empires, the American empire, the Chinese Empire, the European Empire. It was very, very stimulating. Thank you for organizing. And I guess my Brussels Unplugged recommendation, for you, it's a book. It's called Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain. I don't know if you know him.
No.
He passed away recently. He was a chef in New York. This was his first novel that he wrote. And then he had the most watched show on CNN, called Parts Unknown, I believe, where he traveled the world, and wherever he went, he discovered the people, the culture, and of course, the food, his true passion. And it's written in a very direct and a very honest, but very eloquent way. And it's very introspective as well. It's about personal growth and opportunity, struggle, a lot of the themes that we discussed.
I mean, read Le Mage du Kremlin, you know, I don't know how... Le Mage du Kremlin, you know,
Kremlin.
It's a book on Russia and Putin.
Okay.
I don't know, I mean, the name of the, it's an Italian writer, I don't remember the name, Le Mage du Kremlin, go find it. I'm sure it's translated in English.
Okay, I'll find it.
It gives you an overview of who is Putin.
Okay.
What is the plan of Putin? Very, very, very. That's the last one I read. It was fantastic.
What's his plan according to the book?
I mean, the first thing that's coming out of the book is the fact that he have a plan. That since 10 years, he's very clear how he will reconstruct the big USSR. You know, it's really Russia, the old Russia. I want to reconstruct Russia.
Okay.
And it's really that. And it probably will do. What is really, really scaring? Step by step, you know, you have the time. You have the time, you have the money, you have China and a lot of, I mean, finally a lot of country around him.
Yeah,
so that will help, you know.
His cause, absolutely. It's
which is just a disaster because yes. Today, you know, it's very complicated to sleep well.
It is.
What's happening in the world is just unbelievable. You know, we have a United Nations that take decision and nobody respects it. You have, you know, the international courts that also take decision and nobody cares. I mean, that's really scary.
I think that is one of his biggest achievements, huh? The breaking down of the rule-based order, of how we run things in the world. But I guess
and the fact that nobody cares.
Why do you think is that?
You know, when COVID stopped, I had the feeling that everybody realized that we need to, I mean, change the way we live. Probably, it's changing a lot of things. When you go in an airport, it's full. I mean, drive with your car, it's full of cars. I mean, consumption is just unbelievable. And nobody cares. And there is something like, people doesn't want to hear. They don't want to realize because it's too scary. They have also the feeling that they are alone because of probably the perception that, I mean, the power of politics, the result that the political system are not strong enough or clear enough.
Absolutely.
So that's generate a situation where, no reaction and probably consuming is pleasure.
Very true. I read a stat seven, 8 years ago that people expect results, not just from political leaders. Actually, the confidence in political leaders was 37%, religious leaders 51%, and business leaders almost 70%. So I think there's also this change in society and expectations. So maybe it's a loss of faith.
I also believe that if the political system will not change the world, religion will not change the world. So I think that the civil community need to wake up and be active in changing, trying to change everything. This is what we try to do at the Merode. It's just being an agora where we just bring people to talk, to express what they feel, what they like, what they don't like. I mean, we don't care about politics, about religion, about anything. We just want to be an agora that become a media, just to shake a society, city, individual people, group of people, because we have a mission.
You do, and this is fantastic. I think this is a perfect note to end our podcast today. Bruno, thank you for joining me.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And I look to see you around the club. For our listeners, we publish every 25th. So tune in to hear Bruno's story and the Merode and the importance of civil society, picking up the mantle and helping nurture solutions to our world in the future. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Pietro, that was a really great episode with Bruno Pani. Unfortunately, I could not attend, but I have listened to it, and it was a very inspiring conversation. We heard Bruno's personal upbringing. We heard his professional career, but also much more. We heard about his view about the global stage, about the economy, about what's going on in the world. And we're just going to be debriefing here for a couple of minutes more. And my question is straight to you. What did you live with this episode of the podcast?
Thank you, Matteo. We did absolutely miss you in the last few days doing the podcast, but it was great to get to meet Bruno. I've heard so many rumors about him. He's the founder of a club, the Merode, that I'm a member. I've been attending events for the last few months, networking, meeting people. And I just wanted to know the person behind this exactly. What is his story? What motivates him? What drives him? And how does he stay at the top of his game? Well, concerning his story, I found very interesting his Italian roots, moving to Belgium, his grandfather, and then making his way into the luxury business and then building on from that and really creating a community. And as well, the importance of constantly learning and upskilling and staying ahead with the trend, and the importance of that knowledge spillover that is only possible intergenerationally. Well, there's a lot of knowledge spillovers that are possible, but definitely the one that's intergenerational is one of the most important for communities and societies to advance.
Thank you, Pietro. It was really interesting conversation. We are not going to bother more our listeners that they already have enjoyed the conversation with Bruno Pani, which was great. We thank Bruno, and we thank also Bruno because let's reveal to our listeners that most of our episodes, at least the ones that we record when it's the two of us, we recorded at the Merod Club. Yeah. So.
Actually, in this moment, we're on the ground floor of the Merod in one of the phone boxes, so...
Exactly. So we actually thanks to Bruno and of course to Pietro being a member here. We're gonna close with a bit of a revealing, Pietro. There is gonna be, we can just say this, there is gonna be a special episode for the first time. We are not gonna respect. We're gonna break the rule of releasing an episode once a month. We're gonna have a special episode. We cannot say more, but that we can say.
Stay absolutely tuned. This person has been active in the EU sphere. Very, very, very a thought leader in tech, economics, and a bit of a bad boy. There, I already gave you an extra hint there.
Yes, a bad boy, and many, many will remember him from.
Come on, Matteo. Listen.
Let's not spoil it. But we can definitely say that he's a VIP. The rendezvous is going to be in a couple of weeks. We are going to also release our regular episode on the 25th of November. Mm-hmm. We already have secured a guest. That is also going to have to do with a very special topic. We're going to talk about economy. We cannot reveal also about that. That's going to be special. So stay tuned, because in November, we're going to follow up with two episodes. So 25th of November, and then date to be confirmed. We're going to announce it on our social media channels with our very special guests, probably in the first 10 days of the month of November. But stay tuned, and thanks a lot for listening.
Thank you so much, and catch you next time.
See you.